As maturing believers in Jesus, we will face times of testing. We will face times of failure when we fall. Pastor Tim looks at the life of Peter and his failure and his restoration and asks the question, how will we stand? Thanks for joining us.
I'm a Christian of maturity. What does that mean? I hope and pray that you've been that question has been in your heart and mind this past few weeks that we have been trying to talk about it. Last week we talked about not to get in these senseless and stupid controversies. Not my words, that's Paul's words to Timothy. We talked about that last week. Not to get involved in these senseless and stupid things. And because what happens is that we begin to attach ourselves to that controversy, and then we begin to walk away from faith. It directly affects our faith, is that we stop maturing in the Lord, but we start fighting a battle for something that in the end usually doesn't mean anything to my salvation whatsoever. And so that's what it means to these senseless controversies, is that it's not pertinent really to my salvation. And so we fight these things. And so I'm going to let the apologists fight these things out. There's people out there, if you want to listen to somebody really good, Rafi, the Zachariah is really good to listen to. He's very good to listen to. And so it steals our faith away, and we stop growing within the Lord. We stop maturing in the Lord. Well, here's a question for this week, for today. How do we handle the disappointments in our Christian walk? How do we handle those disappointments in our Christian walk? What is the process that we deal with? Y'all pray for me. I've been having a lot of trouble with hay fever, if you want to call it that. And so y'all pray for me. My eyes have been swollen. Someone said that my wife's been hit me in the face. You know, I'm on a plead the fifth on that. And so y'all pray for me. I'm kind of scratchy today. But how do we handle disappointments in our Christian walk? When we fail, how do we get back up? How do we bounce back? Now, sadly, as a pastor through the years, I've seen people that begin to have disappointments in their life or sin in their life, and they wind up walking away from the faith. They wind up walking away from faith. They may say things like, this is not worth it. It's not something that I want to fight for. Let me tell you this. Living at peace with and through God and living at peace with others, guess what? It's worth it. It is worth it. I tell married couples all the time, it is worth it. It is worth it to come to counseling and to realize that there's an issue there. It is worth it. It is worth it. Be able to go to a family member or to a friend and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It is worth it. It's also worth it when someone comes to you and that you say, I forgive. It is worth it. And in our Christian walk with the Lord and our Christian maturity in the Lord, He calls us to these different things in life. But there are times that we just miss the mark, as John Wesley would say. Let me say this. If you find yourselves at odds with people, I find myself at odds with people a lot, then I really do think there's something matter with your Christian maturity. On the scale of Christian maturity, I would think it would be very low. If you find yourselves always an issue, always an issue with something. And so God calls us out of that. God calls us to live a peace. He calls us to, everywhere we find ourselves, we should be the calming force in the room. You know? We should be the ones that don't run and be afraid or scared. We should be that calmness within the room. That calmness within the room. I remember a good friend of mine years ago said he was on a plane ride, and he said that things didn't look real good for them to get off that plane. It dipped, and the mask, they fell down, and he said lady sitting beside him says, hollered out to Jesus, please help us and save us. Well, they made it. And afterwards, people came to her and says, thank you for that moment. It made me direct my thoughts, everything, on something that could save us. We should be the ones that have the answers. We should be the ones that people at work have to turn to. But whenever we find ourselves, there is a failure in our lives, and sometimes we don't know what to do with that failure. Sometimes we don't understand how we deal. How did I come to this place that I sin? I'm a child of the King. I'm walking faithfully to the Lord. And then sin has crept its way in my life. I hadn't rejected Jesus. I hadn't turned my back on him. But down the line is I have crept and allowed sin to begin to seek in. And then I disappoint people. So what should you do with that? How do you handle that? When disappointment has come, when people were looking and saying, yep, see there, I knew there wasn't anything to it. Well, there's a character in the Bible that this happened to. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, to chapter 2, verse number 14 and 15. His name is Peter. And so Peter has, and we'll get into it in a minute, dealt with a disappointment in his Christian maturity, learning how to walk with the Lord. But we find him in this book, after the day of Pentecost, we find him, and it says in verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing with the 11, he raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. In these, those are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Isn't that funny in the Bible? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, so they can't be drunk. In other words, he is referring to the day of Pentecost, when they were together in that room. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and settled on them. And boy, they began to do all type of things. And people says, what's going on in there? They must be drunk or something. But he stood up with an authority. He stood up with a boldness in his heart. He began to speak a truth in this chapter. And he stood up and he had a priest say a sermon. And this sermon basically said that the Old Testament predicted that Jesus was coming. That he was the true Messiah. And that the Holy Spirit has come now. Has come now to write that on our hearts. That was what basically his sermon he did. He did it with an authority. But it wasn't always like this for Peter. That was just the opposite, seemed like. Just the opposite. See, Peter was abrasive at times. He was really quick to speak and slow to listen. What God's Word says that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. He was just a complete interchange of that. Is that Peter wanted to speak. He didn't really want to listen. And at this little sidebar here. If you look at God's Word, you don't find us saying a whole lot. You find us listening to God's Word. That should tell us something today. We often want to say a lot of things. We find him interjecting himself, which was pretty much about him before the day of Pentecost. We find him injecting himself in different situations. Now, there was one time he says, Jesus, I will die for you. And right before that he said that, Jesus said, I look at Simon Peter and says, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. Sift you like wheat. And if you know anything about a sifting like wheat, that's a tremendous thing. It's rough. It's tough. You know, back in the day when I was on the farm. Well, which my daddy had a garden each year. And I thought I was going to die every summer. I thought I was just going to die and pass out. But I look back on those times with him. I remember we had a little thing that he would, a plow would have a motor on it, and I had this thing back here that would plant the seed, you know, and I would have to follow behind him, and I would try to put my feet in his footprints. And I remember those days, and it was very, very good days. But we find him interjecting himself in things. He says, I'm going to sift you like wheat. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But Peter's response was not one of humility. It wasn't a response like, wow, really? Hold on here. He says, Jesus, I will go with you to prison, and I will die for you. I will die for you. It wasn't a like, wow, man, let me take a step back. But that pride within him, that something in him says, my response has to be one of, I'm going to go die for you. They can in a prison with me. In a prison me. So here's the thing. Peter walked with Jesus. He saw his power of his love. He even walked on the water with Jesus. You remember the story? You've seen it in our play, our Easter play. I'll be glad when we get everything up and ready to go. It's going to be fun. Scott would have that scene in the Easter play every year. He says, now that's a good scene, Tim. But Jesus walking on the water, you know, and Peter gets out. And you have to give it to Peter. You know, he really was trying. He really wanted to be a true disciple. I'm not here to get down on him per se. At least he had a desire to be. He gets out of the boat and he's like strolling along there, you know, strolling along. Then the waves come. What does he do? Takes his eyes off Jesus, begins to sink. Peter. He wanted to do right. He wanted to do right. One time, Jesus told Peter, when Jesus says, I'm going to be sent to Jerusalem and I'm going to be killed and all this. And Peter interjected himself again. And Jesus' response to him was, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. You're a stumbling block. You're setting your mind not on the divine things, but on human things. Jesus pointed it out to him. Peter, you're thinking on this human stuff. You're thinking on this level here when you should be thinking by now on this divine things. Listen to this. He was with Jesus, but not engaged with Jesus, I don't think. You say, Tim, that's crazy. He walked with him. He was with him all the time. And we're going to get to that and what that means in a minute. Are we just like Peter? I'm a Christian. Lord, I would die for you. I will. And here's the thing. The issue with that is that most of us are not willing to live for him now, but we're willing to die for him. Why? Because that makes a statement. Because that makes a statement. That we're not willing to necessarily live for him, but we're willing to die for him. I guarantee you put a lot of Christians up here and they say, will you die for him? Someone come in and says, will you die? I think about the Columbine many years ago, and that young lady, I preached on her. One of the shooters came and says, if you deny, this has been corroborated by others. You deny your relationship with the Lord. And she looked at him and says, okay. And he shot her. And her life showed that she was a true disciple of the Lord. My question is, are you willing to die for him? But are you willing to live for him? Are you willing to live for him? I think sometimes we like the idea of being a Christian. I think sometimes we like to know that we're rubbing shoulders with the Lord and others. I think we like that idea. I think, you know, it does something for our social standing at times. I know there are times I have people say they go to certain other churches where they can rub shoulders with the right people. We like the idea of being a Christian. Yes, I want to live faithfully for the Lord. But in a practice, maybe our lives show something else. I love social media. You know, I'll hear people writing biblical things and doing this for the Lord, doing for this, and about 4 hours later, they say, I can't wait to have this big party at my house and make sure you bring the keg with you. I'm going, so which one is it? You know? Some of you say, well, what's wrong with a keg? Well, you send me afterwards. And I'll share you story after story after story of marriages that have been broken because of it. And so the idea of it, maybe for Peter, is like, I'm walking with the King of Kings here. I like this. James and John had their mom to come to Jesus and says, when you enter your kingdom, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus said, you don't know what you ask. Because the only other time in the New Testament that is said, and that exact wording was, there was one on his left and one was on his right. You don't know what you ask. And so, once again, I'll say it again. We like the idea of being a Christian. But truthfully, are we maturing in Him? Jesus says, Peter, you will deny me 3 times. No, Lord, I will go to prison with you. I will die for you. Came about when Jesus was arrested. Peter was standing by a fire outside. A lady walked up to him and was with him around the fire and says, hey, I can see a Pam and Easter Bay doing it now. You scare me. You get me? She's about to, if you don't know Pam, she's about to hide. Scare me half to death. Aren't you one of him? Aren't you? Don't you know him? Peter's like, here's his moment. Here's your moment. In that moment, here we go. Here it is, Peter. This is what you've asked for. This is what you've longed for. At this moment is what you longed for. You said you would go to prison and to death. Here's the moment right here. Here's your moment right now. You're faced with it right now at work. Right now is your moment. Right now is your moment. I'm ready. Remember, Jesus already said, I'm not thinking on the divine. I'm thinking in here. Let's puff up, Peter. Here it is. Here's my moment. Little old lady or young lady says, you're one of him. And in that moment, he says, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. She said, yes, yes, you are one. And somebody else says, yes, you are him. I don't know him. And all of a sudden, someone else says, yes, yes, I've seen you with him. I don't know him. And the chicken begins to crow, as Jesus said it would. The word says, very, very sadly, Peter ran and weeps by bitter tears. What you do with that failure? What we do with that failure. Said Peter, wept bitter tears. Let me tell you something. Sin will make you weep bitter tears. Let me say it again. I want us to get it today. Sin will make you weep bitter tears. It will make you go to a room and lay flat on the floor, weeping and crying. I've had people in my office, actually on the floor, seriously, on the floor, weeping and crying. What have I done to my family? Bitter tears. And this failure that we find out of Peter's life, what does he do with it? It was his time to be strong and to stand strong, but he folded. You would think by this time that Peter was living on the meat of the word, living on every moment of what Jesus was saving, that he was digesting it. It was coming in what Jesus was teaching him, what Jesus was saying to him. You would think that he was this digestion, all this, it was coming in, it was making a mature, but he was still on the milk of the word, as the author of a Hebrews would say. That by now, you should be able to eat meat of the word, but you're still on milk. And this moment that he had, that moment, he ran and he wept. Wept. Tears. If you're not maturing in the faith, this is your story. This is my story. If you're not maturing in the faith, this is your story. If I'm not maturing in the faith, this is my story. Sooner or later, sin will entrap you. Sooner, because it's beautiful. Satan will just paint you a picture. Will just paint you something beautiful. And that moment your time comes to stand strong, you give in. A peer pressure. You might, you know, your mom and dad saying, yeah, teens, listen to that. But mom and daddy, you listen to me. Let me listen. We give in to peer pressure. Why? Because when we got saved, born again, regenerated, living for the Lord, for whatever reason, we didn't continue to mature. And for Peter, you would think by now that he would. But we find Peter in our scripture reading today, speaking with authority. Listen to this. Something changed within him. Judas betrayed the Lord, didn't he? Judas betrayed him. What did he do? He ran out and he hung himself. This fear in his life, he thought his way out was just to get out of this life, get out of this world. He went out and hung himself. But Peter, what did he do? He went fishing. After this, all this denial and this disappointment in his life, is he went back to what he knew. But in that moment, and I think for some reason, maybe he said, Jesus found me one time fishing. Maybe he'll find me again. Maybe in the midst of that, his thought process, Jesus found me one time. He said, just had to drop your nets and follow me. Maybe in his thought, he said, he found me one time. Maybe he'll find me again. What changed? On that a seashore that morning, Jesus showed up while Peter was fishing. Began to cook for him. I often think of this in scripture back in school. I saw the parallels here. He was in around a charcoal fire, you know? With that little lady, with Pam shouting at him, you know? His moment, he denies him. But interesting, the same wording is used that Jesus was around the charcoal fire. And Peter saw Jesus on the shoreline. And Peter, being Peter, jumps out of the boat butt naked. Can I say that, church? Yes, swim. And I just, in my thought process, I wonder when Peter smelled that charcoal fire. Did his mind and his heart go back to that moment that he had the opportunity and the chance to do something what we think is great? That when he ran up on the beach and went, I remember that moment. And I just wanted to sidebar. I don't get into it. I'll say this. He did not allow this to define who he was. He's about to allow this moment to define who he is. And that moment with Jesus, think about that. I bet those eggs were good. You know, you got Jesus cooking, you know. I bet he had bacon, fried ham. I bet he did. He met the master again on the beach and had a meal. Listen to me. He didn't give up. But he surrendered to the Lord. He surrendered to him. He surrendered to him. Find Peter again. There was some other times that Jesus was with his disciples in a room. You talk at the scripture beginning. Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas said, "You know, I'm gonna have to. I gotta touch him. I gotta see the scars before I can believe." And he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." We find the disciples of the upper room because Jesus says, go to Jerusalem, go to a room, and you wait. You wait. It's okay. So the 11 went to this upper room. Here's the parallel. Peter surrounded himself with people that served the master. Jesus says, you go to the upper room, y'all get together in one accord, in unity, and you wait until power comes on you. You wait there. In other words, he surrounded himself with people that love the Lord. Because he knew if when I went out by myself and wept out of bitter tears, and maybe he didn't want anyone to know, and a lot of times within our sin, we don't want anyone to know. In our failures, we don't want anyone to know because we're embarrassed. What will people think? What will they think if they know? Which people will find out anyway, usually. This time, he listened with a humble heart. And the Holy Spirit began to shake that place. And the Holy Spirit sat upon them. With a boldness began to come and rise up in his heart. How did it rise up? I believe this. I know how it rose up in me. It was a humbling experience. It was something that I put myself almost face down. A surrender, a holy surrender to the Master. And we find Peter standing before the people. Let me tell you something about this man called Jesus. Let me tell you something about this man called Jesus. He is the one. He is the one. What changed? What changed? He humbled himself in a room. He listened to Jesus. I lost my microphone again, didn't I? He listened.
He listened to Jesus. That's what I want us to know today. He got engaged with Jesus again, with people around him. You will not escape your failure. It will haunt you. It will follow you until you deal with it with the Master. Don't wallow in defeat. Don't wallow in defeat. Don't be as Judas. Ran.
When James talks about if you bring a sinner home, it covers a multitude of sins. That we should be looking at one another saying, hey, come on. There's been times I've gone to people that I loved and says, come on, you don't want to go down this road. You don't want to go down this road. And they go down it anyway. And fear comes. You think you can be a Lone Ranger and live for Jesus? That's a lie of the devil. As Peter found out in the upper room, they had all things in common. And in the first church, you hear it over and over again, they had all things in common. They met together, they ate together, they prayed together, they sing together. And here in the United States of America, we have people that says, I can have salvation apart from the church. I can just stay home and Jesus and I got this thing together. That is a lie from the very pit of hell. You have to be part of a church body to continue to mature in the Lord. I encourage us just not to be Sunday morning people. I encourage us to be people of God that says, Lord, lead me. Be a part of a small group. I want to be around my other brothers and sisters. I want to go to an upper room. I want to sit and wait for you, Lord, for you to do something among us. And our small group last Wednesday night, it was a beautiful thing what God did. My question for us today is, are we willing to surrender and don't run from our faults? Peter here, he stood not in his authority when he began to preach, but in the authority of who Jesus is. That was the change. He used to speak for himself and said, I'll die for you. I'll do this. I'll walk on the water. When it got tough, he began to sink. I'll do this. No, Lord, there's no way you can go to Jerusalem and die. No, no, no. I'm going to protect you. He got a sword out when they come to arrest Jesus. And he cut someone's ear off. I got you, Jesus. I got you. But in his moment, see the sword and see all the wonderful, great things that I'm doing that we call that is great. But in the midst of a little old lady saying, you're him. Oh, no, I'm not. Because it wasn't a grander moment. There's only a few around. It's amazing how we are Christians when everybody's looking. It's amazing. When everybody's looking, oh, yes, amen, praise God, amen. But as soon as we leave the presence of people, things begin to change. I'm standing here today before not because of who I am, but because of who He is. I can preach the gospel when it speaks of heaven, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Understand? And I can live for Him, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. And the power of the Holy Spirit came on them on the day of Pentecost, and it gave them boldness, it gave them power to surrender to Him, be able to preach the gospel, reach the lost, and yes, as Paul would say, and live above sin. To have victory in your lives. Ask that question today. Where are you? Are you mature? Do you wait for those grandiose moments to show everyone what a great Christian on our chest? Or do you find yourself hopefully in when nobody's around? You meet a need. No one is ever going to know. Around in a circle at work, someone says something. You know it's not right. Here's one. Teenagers. This kid that's not quite right. Kind of awkward. And everyone's loaded on them. A bully them. It happens. Every school. Teenagers. Will you stand? Put your arm around them. Eat lunch with them. Just remember, he stood not because of who he was, but because of who he is in Jesus. I want you to understand that today. We can go on to Christian maturity when we understand that and know that. That it's not in the grandiose moments of our lives that we continue to grow. It's in those sweet, quiet moments when no one's looking that we do the right thing in Jesus. The right thing in Jesus. And yes, those grandiose moments will come, probably. But I guarantee you won't beat your chest. I guarantee you will surrender to that and you act accordingly as Jesus acted. Christian maturity, what does that mean? I hope today that we move further along. I want you to stand.
In the end, our maturity finds its foundation in Jesus and Jesus alone. And as we trust in Him and according to His grace and mercy, we stand in Him, we can find ourselves free of the fear of judgment. We can find ourselves free of the fear of failure. And we find ourselves standing on that solid rock. Thank you for joining this week. I'm Pastor James St. John on behalf of Freedom Church family. Have a great week.